going to talk a little about the Holy Spirit this morning, but I feel like the Holy Spirit has said that this is the time and the moment to release some of the things that He's pressed upon my heart this morning. And so, well, we're gonna leave the lights where they are right now. You guys keep playing. We're going to go ahead and let our youngins head on up to Children's Church. But we want to keep this right here. You know, I was talking with Jeffrey a little bit this morning. And, you know, and I had some things that we may put up on the screen this morning. And he's like, hey, man, if you could give me a day's notice, you know, that would help us with all this. And I was like, man, if the Holy Spirit would give me a day's notice, I would do the same thing. And so I want to be sensitive to that this morning. You know, it's tough sometimes to be able to do that. You know, Miss Linda talked about that, you know, the song list and all these things. And honest to goodness, I don't know if you call it preacher's block or whatever, but, you know, it was just one of those things. I have the word, and then God just kind of flooded some things into my heart this morning. I want to keep this this atmosphere right here. I'm not going to ask you guys to play through the whole thing, but I did want to get our young folks out and transition as well as possible. And I'll stay up here, I guess, for lighting for the folks that are watching at home. And then if we need to fix that, Jeffrey will let us know. So with that said, you guys can kind of retire for just a little while. And I'll just kind of, I'll share a little bit from my heart. And when the Holy Spirit says that's finished, that'll be finished. And we'll move on. But obviously, we want to pray for our pastor and his family while they're gone, that they come back rested up and full of things that the Holy Spirit has done in their lives so that they can share those things with us. So please remember them while they're gone. But, you know, so as I'm even behind the drum cage this morning, you guys are releasing what the Holy Spirit has pressed upon you, and God is continuing to throw things into my heart and my spirit this morning. And so I'm just going to share, guys, and then hopefully that will loose, you know, you guys. One of my favorite quotes, and I make sure that I teach it every semester, you know, and it got made a little more famous by the movie Coach Carter, but it's a quote written by Marianne Williamson, and Nelson Mandela used it during his inauguration speech. And it's called Our Deepest Fear. Towards the second half, the last half of the poem, it says, as you are liberated from your fears, your presence automatically liberates others. As you let your light shine, it allows others to do the same thing. And so all throughout the week this week, I was able to witness those things and see some of those things. And so, you know, as we talk and as we play and as we worship this morning, let that liberate you. Be liberated by some of the things that other people do. And I did want to keep this atmosphere, but, you know, we are going to be, we'll be a little light in some of the things we talk about. This week at Carrollton High School, it was homecoming week. And I will tell you this, I have almost been at every school in the West Georgia area. I don't know if that's a good thing, but it's just the way that it's been. But I will tell you that it is legitimately a week of things. It's not, hey, we're gonna have a parade on Friday, we got a queen. It is legitimately a week long celebration followed by an 8-mile death march similar to the one of Bataan, a parade. No, I'm kidding. But it's a long parade that you get through, and just been a lot of stuff going on this week. And so, you know, my personal time took a dip. My personal time with the Lord took a dip as well. And I'm just being open and transparent with you guys. I had, you know, my Tuesday morning FCA Bible study, and I had my wrestling coaches Bible study, and I had FCA Bible study and all these things, but I didn't have a lot of Nick Bible study this week. And so God kind of touched on me a little bit about those things. But I will tell you this, we are blessed to live in the country that we live in, because the experience that a lot of kids got to have this week was amazing. And throughout all these things that were going on, my leadership team that, you know, Coach Phillips helped raise up, a lot of them are seniors that actually play a functioning role. And Friday morning came around, 7:45 FCA meeting gets rocking, and they've got homecoming stuff they've got to do. You know, we do these things at Carrollton called sweethearts, and like every club or anything that has thought about gets to have a sweetheart. Like, we have 8 million people that get to go in the parade. Like, when I tell you this parade lasts a minute, like, it lasts a minute. Every club gets to nominate a sweetheart, right? And so every athletic, we offer all the GHSA sports, and we have 8 million clubs. And so, like, everybody has something to do on Friday morning. And so we had a low crowd, and some of my, I guess you'd call them underclassmen leaders, they had to pull the rope a little bit. And this young lady pulled, I guess what Sid talks about when he talks about Bill Johnson, when he shares, she's just like, I got some stuff I've been studying this week. She's like, I can share that, you know, because the one that was supposed to share couldn't make it due to homecoming, you know, things that she had to do. So with that said, she just got up and she shared her heart, and she said some things that absolutely cut me to the core. And so I'll share a little bit about what she shared with us this week. She basically got up and she got into Hebrews 4, and we'll get there maybe in a minute. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how the Holy Spirit leads. If you haven't figured it out, that's kind of what I feel like God has pressed upon me is what the Holy Spirit is here for. But anyway, she said some things to us about God being involved in your personal and your private life, and she used the word follow, and as soon as she did, it set some things off in me. So I'm going to share my week a little bit with you. We'll share a little bit about what she talked about, and then what the Lord pressed upon me this morning, and we'll go from there. So all week long, everything that surrounds what I'm doing right now, and it surrounds you whether you know it or not, is this word that I've really grown to really dislike, Brett. It's called the analytics. Right, and I don't care what it is that you do, because you have to deal a lot with analytics, or to analyze, to, you know, be able to explain what's going on. And so, you know, whether it's in football, you know, the analytics say that you should go for it on fourth down if this is the situation. You know, you should go for two. Last night, I was watching a football game, Indiana at home. In overtime, decides to go for two, and they beat Penn State. Whether you agree with the call or not, that's not the point. They went against the analytics. The analytics of that situation would tell you that if you are the home team and you are tied with a team, that you play for the tie and continue overtime. If you're the away team, you go for two. That's what the analytics say. The analytics tell you if you're down by two, you should go for two in this situation, but don't go for two in this situation. The analytics would tell you that. The analytics would tell you right now, currently in our country, that you should wear face coverings and all these things. And these data points, they tell us what to do. And the problem with all of these analytics is this is going to sound backwards, but it's not the truth. As I was talking with a math teacher this morning, Miss Tammy Thompson, she goes, I'll tell you, as a math teacher, analytics don't mean anything, because you can make data mean what you want it to mean. And that's really what it boils down to. You can turn data the way that you want to turn data. You could turn the scripture the way that you wanted to turn the scripture. But it doesn't make it true. Truth is truth. And so, you know, it happened to us yesterday. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, my 11 and 12-year-old team, we're pretty decent. And we got into a situation yesterday that we hadn't been in. We were in fourth down. We don't get in that situation very often, Brett. We're relatively efficient. So we weren't really ready to punt the football, and we did anyway. So, you know, special teams guy said, we're going to punt the thing. Okay, that's your job. You decide to punt. We punted the ball, got the snap off. A little Judah White was a long snapper, good snap. Kick went 800 miles, and that kid returned it for a touchdown because we didn't cover very well, because we hadn't practiced it a lot. So the analytics would have told us to punt right there, but the analytics don't know the truth of the team. The analytics didn't understand that that's not something that we function in and then what we do. And so as I continued to look at that, I was reminded of John chapter 3. We're studying the book of John in my wrestling coach's Bible study. And it's been a slow trudge. Trudge is a bad word. It's just been a slow go. It's been very good. It's just we're not moving very fast. But in John chapter 3, and I got to have some scripture, because if you preach without scripture, then it can't be good, apparently, James. I think that's a rule. So just so you know, you got to have some scripture when you preach. But in John chapter 3, we're talking about verse 1 here. Nicodemus comes to Jesus, and we've actually preached on this in here over the last couple of weeks. Several people have mentioned it. But there was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. And after dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. There's a lot that you can unpack right there in that, because he's going to Jesus after dark because he knows that he doesn't agree with some of the things Jesus is saying. But he says, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. The analytics say there's something different about this guy. And so he goes to Jesus saying, we know that God has sent you because of the miracles, not because of anything else. You know, I can look and I can see that these are miracles that you've performed. So obviously God is with you, right? And so Jesus replies, says, I tell you the truth, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And so Nicodemus, again, being analytical, analyzing, says, what do you mean? It says he exclaimed in the NLT. So it means there's got to be some passion behind that. He says, how can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? And then Jesus goes on to tell us about how you have to be born of the Spirit. And he starts talking about faith, and he starts talking about all. Let's go ahead and read it. Why not? It says, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being of water and of the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life. But the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it is going. So you can't explain how people are born of the Holy Spirit. And then Nicodemus says, how are these things possible? The analytics just don't add up. I can't see in my mind's eye because these are not things that have been true to me. And the problem with Nicodemus is he has not been given any truth. He's been given a lot of information that may or may not be true. He's been given a lot of data points, but he's not been given any truth because he doesn't understand that Jesus is the Son of Man. He doesn't understand how to be reborn. These things require faith. These things require truth that can only come from the Word of God. And I'm not talking about the Bible, because in John chapter 1, he talks about in the beginning, the Word was with God and the Word was God. And then he talks about how Jesus becomes all of those things. Jesus has been there since the beginning. And so when I talk about the Word of God, I'm not talking about the Bible. I am talking about a living, breathing Jesus. And he's broken right here. This breaks Nicodemus because he can't comprehend it. He cannot fathom, because he can't understand the data points, because he's been flooded his entire life with junk. Okay, and so he's got to filter through all the things he's been told and accepted as truth. And we talked about that not too long ago. I gave you guys that quiz about, you know, what type of bird sticks his head in the sand when he gets nervous. And everybody said an ostrich. And I was like, hi, you're wrong. They don't do that because they can't breathe. Remember that whole thing? It's not truth, but it's something that we've accepted as true. And so we have to take all these things that we've accepted and really throw them out the window, because we've accepted truths that are incorrect. And so this young lady, she gets up, and this was the quote that she said. I think I've actually got her notes right here, and I'll make you wait because I can, so I can pull them up. I made her send me her notes. This was the quote she says. She said, you can't hide your public or personal life, because God follows both. And in my heart, here's what the Holy Spirit pressed upon me. I'm a Twitter guy. You guys are probably Facebook people because you're old, and I'm pretending that I'm not, all right? But on Twitter, you hit the follow button. On the Instagram, the Snapdegrams and the Instachats, you hit the follow button, right? Jesus doesn't just follow what you want him to follow. He follows both your personal and your private life. And see, we've gotten this stigma, and y'all can lie to yourself and tell me that you don't. But you put out there what you want people to see. You want people to see how good everything really is. And we took our fall pictures, and the kids were just perfect angels, and we love everybody, and my kids are the best. They sing in tongues. And you put this little thing out there, and you don't want to tell people how it really was, because you had to yell and brush some hair, and there was a red face, and you was talking through your teeth at you before you took the picture, and you went. And everybody sees the still shot of how everything was great. And that's what we want people to think about us in our private life. We don't want people to know we ain't been home all week and the house is dirty. But everything's good. Everything's great. Well, Jesus, he's not one of your followers in that aspect. He follows all of it. And so you can't present false data to him. You can't put the false analytics to him. He sees right through that garbage. Your filter, he knows better. Okay, I love that little meme. I think it's Danny Trejo, the Latin American actor. He's got scars all over his face, and then somebody took, or Freddy Krueger, and they polished it up with one of them little filter things. That's how some of your pictures look. I've seen you in person. I know you don't look that way. Okay, you ain't that cute. You ain't fooling nobody except your followers, your virtual friends, who aren't really your friends. Yeah, I know. It hurts a lot of people right here. A lot of people that put some stock in some false analytics, which is social media. But anyway, she said this. It cuts to me. I have watched part of something that I guess it's been out for a month, and it just hit me at the right time because that's when the Holy Spirit wanted me to actually look at it. And I'm not promoting anything or anything like that. I don't have any rights to anything. And so if anybody wants to sue us, you can't, because I said something about it. We're not getting paid to promote anything, and we're not whatever. But there's a Netflix, I guess it's a documentary. It's called The Social Dilemma. Anybody seen that? All right, one guy. Thank you for being here today. The Social Dilemma. And so I started watching some of this because I felt like I was supposed to watch the preview to it, and I start watching it. And basically, and I'm going to give you the preview, that way we don't have to play the preview. It's a bunch of guys that were involved in the social media boom. You know, there are some of the creator of the like button on Facebook, the co-creator of that's on here. And some people from Twitter are on there. Some people from Instagram are on there. People from the internet are on there. Stock investors are on there. And basically what they tell you is that this world that you live in right here, right, it's created for that individual user. It's created for you. And so you are going to see the things that you want to see. And they'll keep shooting those things to you. I'm not talking about the Big Brother where you said something about, man, I need to probably get a chainsaw, and then all of a sudden you get a chainsaw ad, right? I'm not talking about that part. I'm talking about the part that you're individually involved in, right? Well, I like watching videos of cats or whatever, and then if you haven't been on there long enough, like, they'll push you a notification or say, oh, so-and-so like this. Maybe you would like it too. And those things get pushed. It's not somebody behind the curtain like, ooh, playing just with you, but they've created algorithms just for you, and they're personalized just for you. And so if you they talk about, depending on what part of the country you live in, if you type in climate change is, that Google box is going to autofill to what you want to see. So if you want to see that climate change is a hoax, that's what it's going to autofill with. And if you want to see it is a problem, or because you live on the West Coast in California, that's what it's going to autofill with. It's not bringing you truth. Based upon the analytics, it's bringing you what you want to see or what they want you to see, because they want you to do a certain thing and act a certain way. And so it's this behind-the-scenes look of how social media has infiltrated our lives, right? Because we have to got to reach a certain look here. There's things that we believe to be truths. I do it in my classroom. I've had my own social experiments for the last 2 years. I bought one of those things. It's the cell phone holder that all of you students hate. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you do, right? It bothers you. You're like, oh, stupid class, stupid teacher, maybe put my cell phone up. And then so, but I can watch them when I do it early on in the semester, and I make them put it in that holder. And the ones that don't have the watches, they sit there and I'm like, need something to do. Of course, I give them things to do. I don't just sit there and watch them. Sometimes I do. Social experiment. I do. I want to see them like itch a little bit. And then they come up with stories like, hey, my mom was supposed to text me about this. Like, do you mind if I check my home real quick? And they're going. And they feel that need because they've got anxiety that the world is passing them by and they're not looking at their notifications. And what if something happened and I wasn't there to see it? If a tree falls in the woods, does it make any noise? And I need to get in here. Right? And I can watch it infiltrate who they are. And so, anyways, I'm watching this thing. And there's this scene that takes place. And we'll play that because I asked them to play it. And they went to a lot of links. And so I'm going to make sure that we play that. So we'll play that one with the little girl here in just a second. Anyways, it's a documentary, but they're also playing scenes behind it, like showing you like this is how it affects the average family. And there's a family, and it's got, I think, two girls and a boy, mom and a dad. And of course, you know, the whole thing at the dinner table, right, with everybody's on their phone, that scene's in there. And then this little girl, who I figure is about 12, 13, 14, right? I don't know that it ever says her age, but boy, this gets to me. She's in her room. She's doing her thing. She's on her device. She comes home. She gets on her device, and she posts a picture of herself. I don't know if you guys have seen them do this. They do stuff like this. I got one. There you go. No, I didn't like that one. Hold on. Right, that like they do that. You know you do it. You guys do it. I'm looking at you, right? And you. Oh, hold on, filter. So great. LML, love my life. Sin. And they're putting that false thing out there, and then they wait and they watch. They watch it. Okay. Somebody's gonna like this soon. Okay, gotta like. And if it's not achieving the things they want, so in this one scene, she's not getting a lot of likes, and so she deletes the picture and puts a new one in there, right? And then people, she start commenting, she starts smiling. And it's because she's found value in the heart button. She has equated value in the like button. She's equated her acceptance and truth in the share button. And then somebody makes a comment about her ears. Girl got some big ears. Okay? And said, could your ears be any bigger? Well, it could have been a friend that was joking. Like, oh, you got some big ears, girl. But there's no context in text. There's no context in text. And so she reads it, and she's like, she looks at the picture, and she's like trying to cover her ears up and using her hair to fluff everything down and like delete. I don't want anybody knowing that I've got something wrong with me. I don't want anybody knowing insecurity, because she's gotten value in a picture, in context, and on a device, and that's where she finds her identity. And so her whole world is based upon these analytics and these algorithms and these likes, and she equates acceptance to this, and she creates value to this, or accepts value as this, and her whole self-identity is based upon lies, based upon incorrect acceptance of value. Like, there's a bunch of young ladies in the room today. Let me tell you something really quickly. Your value is not and never will be on social media. If you get a heart button or you don't, it don't matter, sweetheart. I promise you that. So do not find value in the like button. Don't find value in the share button. Don't find value if someone says you look so pretty in your picture, or if they don't. Because I'm here to tell you, you are fearfully and you are wonderfully made. And you are beautiful to your Father in heaven, okay? You need to know that. That is truth. That's value. You want to find value? Wasn't planning on. Let me share some value with you. The creator of the heavens and the earth, okay, the one who made the whole shooting match, died for you. You want to place value on something, he could have done anything. Could have snapped fingers, waved a wand, done whatever, and he said, no, let me lay my life down so that one day you will know there's value in who you are. Not a picture of you. Don't place value on yourself with that, because it's false and it's fake and it's going to lead you to depression and anxiety. And so it goes on, and this plays right here. So I want you guys to see this so that we can get to some Jesus real quick. It's that same little girl here in a second, but I want you guys to see the statistics.
Older teen girls, it's up 189% over the
preteen girls. Pause it real quick. So I can set the scene here. U.S. hospital admissions for non-fatal self-harm, cutting, things of that nature. Girls age 10 to 14 and age 15 to 19. In 2009 is when it's widely accepted that these aged people are on social media. At the age of 10, okay, as young as the age of 10, and I want you to look how these rates go up. So they're going to give you some information.
Nearly triple. Even more horrifying, we see the same pattern with suicide. The older teen girls, 15 to 19 years old, they're up 70% compared to the first decade of the century. The preteen girls, who have very low rates to begin with, they are up 151%. And that pattern points to social media. Gen Z, the kids born after 1996 or so, those kids are the first generation in history that got on social media in middle school. How do they spend their time? They come home from school and they're on their devices. A whole generation is more anxious, more fragile, more depressed. They're much less comfortable taking risks. The rates at which they get driver's licenses have been dropping. The number who have ever gone out on a date or had any kind of romantic interaction is dropping rapidly. This is a real change in a generation. And remember, for every one of these, for every hospital admission, there's a family that is traumatized and horrified. My God, what is happening to our kids?
It's plain as day to me.
You can
stop services.
Guys, I watched that this week, and that broke my heart. Because I see that. I see the results of that on a daily basis. I see kids looking for value in places that are false. And I know you see it too, and it's wrong. And then earlier, as I'm behind the drum cage, Linda uses this word I've grown to hate. She uses the word pandemic. Man, I am loathing that word. But let me tell you what the Holy Spirit said to me, and we're going to talk about him in just a second. Here's your definition for pandemic. It's a disease prevalent over the whole country or world. It's a disease prevalent over the whole country or world. Guys, I felt like the Holy Spirit quickened me to tell you, we are in the middle of a pandemic. But it's not the coronavirus. We have a disease in our country, and it's that we have not looked at the truth of the Holy Spirit. We have a heart disease problem. It's not about the coronavirus. Yes, it's a real thing. I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's not a real thing, but what I am going to tell you, it's a representation of a heart problem. It's a representation of the fact that we place value in all the crap that we read and see and all these analytic data points and what I've been told and what I've read, and we're not placing value on the one thing that the Lord God sent to us for such a time as this, and that's the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14. Let's go there. I think it's 14, and we're going to start in verse 15. It's going to take me a second. This is Jesus talking. He's talking to his disciples. In verse 15, he says, "You love me, obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate." Last week, you used that word, Miss Linda, the word advocate, or comforter, or engager, or counselor. In the Greek, it's the word paraclete. Comforter, counselor, engager, who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit, who leads into all truth. Not this. Not even the pages that we open. But it is a physical, spiritual manifestation of truth, and it's made for you. You want to talk about an algorithm that's made for you? Man, I'm going to tell you, I will take the wisdom and the knowledge and the truth of my Lord and Savior over any man's any day of the week. Period. And I don't care if that messes with your brain. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe that's the problem. You don't understand truth because you've been told a false definition of it. He can't lie. He can't lie. If he came down here and manifested right now and called the chair white, guess what's going to happen to the chair? It's going to become white. He cannot lie. He is all powerful and all knowing. So again, don't base your value on the phone. Don't base your value on Instagram. Base your value on the Holy Spirit, which is here to live not just with you, but in you. It lives in you. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him. The world cannot receive the Holy Spirit because it's not looking for him. You can receive the Holy Spirit because as a believer, you should be looking for him and you should be listening for him and you should wait for your gut to give you that feeling that you get. That's not your conscience. That's not how that works. That's the Holy Spirit. That's not you feeling some type of way, because let me tell you, when you were made, you were born into a sin-cursed world. The things that are good on the inside of you come from him, not from reading a book of Proverbs. That's not the book of Proverbs. I'm talking about the Bible, okay? I'm talking about Proverbs in general, wise things and sayings on how you should live your life. Like Ben Franklin wrote a book of Proverbs, penny saved is a penny earned, and all of those wonderful things. You're not a good person because you read that. You're a good person because you have an origin on the inside of you that God created, and it longs to be back with its creator. You know, we get back to this thing, and I shared this week. Thank you, Lord. You know, there's the old Cherokee Indian tale where this grandfather's walking with his grandson, and he tells his son, and you guys have heard this is not revelation to you. He says, there are two wolves that live on the inside of you. One of these wolves are good, and they represent things that are right and just and holy in this world, and almsgiving and the fruits of the Spirit, basically. And there's an evil wolf that lives on the inside of you, and it wants to bring destruction and death and all these things, and they're fighting for your life, for your soul. And the grandson asked the grandfather, he says, who's going to win? He says, the one that you feed, right? That's true. That's good stuff. But let me tell you, if you're not feeding that wolf with truth from the Holy Spirit, it ain't going to happen. Because you're going to reach a hard place. See, it's easy to do the right thing when it's easy. It's easy. Oh, you know what? There's a homeless dude. I got a candy bar. I'm going to give him that candy bar. He can eat today. That's not hard, guys. Don't kid yourself. That's not hard. That's what you're supposed to do. Congratulations, you were looking for the Holy Spirit because you're a believer, like it tells you in John chapter 14. When it's hard is when it might cost you something. Then we tend not to look for those opportunities. The world can't receive the Holy Spirit because they're not looking for Him. They can't receive the Holy Spirit because they're not looking for Him. That little girl, not looking for Him. She's looking for the value in the system that's been created for her. She's looking for value in a system full of false data. Guys, that stuff, again, Google doesn't use that algorithm to give you the information. It's used to give you the information that you want. I want facts about how climate change isn't real because I'm a Republican. Well, you're going to get them. I want facts about how it's going to kill us in the next 10 years because I'm a Democrat. You're going to get them. I don't want the things that I want. My spirit man tells me I don't need to find the things that I want. Abe Lincoln had a great quote. Scott, who mentioned Abe earlier, they asked him, they said, man, don't you want God to be on your side during the Civil War? And he said, man, I don't care if he's on my side. I'm worried about whether I'm on his side. I don't want things to be I want them to be. I want them to be the way that he wants them to be because I'm a believer. I'm looking for the Holy Spirit in situations. But you know him, we're still in verse 17, but you know him because he lives with you and later will be in you. This is Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit right now that's with him because the Holy Spirit is Jesus and Jesus is the Holy Spirit, right? And so Jesus saying he's with you right now, so you know him. And later on, he's going to be not with you, but in you. That's where you find your value. That's where you find out your rights and your wrongs and your truths. Not you and your books and your knowledge. Which, guys, I'm a teacher. I love knowledge. It's important. Like, we should live our life on those things. I don't want you to leave here and be like, well, he just said everything is in a book. Stupid. That's not what I said. What I said was lean not to your own understanding, but lean to the ways that are higher than yours. Guys, we make it hard sometimes. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you will also live. And when I'm raised to life again, you will know that I am my Father, that I'm in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. And those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones that love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them. You want to know what will fix the pandemic that we are in? The love of the Father. Because see, when Daddy's there, there's peace. Don't you feel better when he shows up somewhere? You drive now, don't you? Sorry, I like y'all. I taught y'all when y'all were here. You drive now. Don't it feel good to know that if something bad happens, you got a cell phone and you can call Daddy? It's not as peaceful when you're the one broke down because you ain't got no one to call. He's like, we got to figure this out on my own. Like, I'm going to have to figure it out. It's not as peaceful. But when Daddy's there, man, things are peaceful. You know, I've not gotten worried about the Rona. I got a daddy that's going to take care of it. That's not because I haven't seen people affected. Because I have. Because that's real. That's not what you're going to post on here. But it's real, right? But I don't get worried because I got a peace because I got a Holy Spirit that doesn't live beside me, not next door. It's in me. But I've got to be the one that wants to see what he wants me to see. It says the world doesn't see me because they're not looking for me. You can't tell me whether it's a little teenage girl or a 47-year-old man, if they're closed off to the things of the Lord, that they don't need to be woken up. The woke generation. Let me tell you how you wake somebody up. You let them know that everything that's in their life that they've based their value and truth system ain't getting it done. The reason that you feel depressed, there's a difference between being sad and depressed, right? It's okay to be sad. Bad things happen, you get sad. You stay sad, that's where the issue comes, right? And if you've based your entire system upon these values and algorithms that's been created to make you feel better, you're not going to. You're not going to get over those things. You're not going to find value in the things that you're supposed to find value in. You're going to find value in algorithms. Sorry, I'll take a all-knowing, omnipotent God over an algorithm. You know, when the world's, and I've got friends, man. I've got some friends, and I'm about done. I'll be honest with you. I'm about done because I don't think much more needs to be said. I've got friends in my life that I have worked with and I have taught with that are atheists. They're atheistic, and they're proud of it. And I had one of them broke down the other night. Just completely and totally broke down in tears, typing the words, man, I'm typing this with tear-soaked eyes because there's death around him. See, the other pandemic, the coronavirus, has affected him. Tell you what, Tyler, if you want to come up and just kind of strum something, that'd be cool. If you don't, that's okay too. But he says, man, I'm typing this through tear-soaked eyes because I know that my friends are believers, and I can't do it. And I'm at a situation to where my sister's, she's in the special wing of the hospital right now. She's got pneumonia. She's dealing with the Rona. And I don't know if she's going to make it. There's no value there. Likes didn't make him feel any better. Followers don't make him feel any better. The only thing that can is the Holy Spirit, because Daddy brings peace with him. Through tear-soaked eyes, Daddy brings peace with him. And Daddy is there with the Holy Spirit. Period. This pandemic, this disease that's affected us all, the problem is not the physical manifestation. The problem is the hurt, the pain that it inflicts on us on the inside. Guy that I worked with 4 years ago, very nice human being, clocked into work Friday, went home, had been taking care of his mother who had gotten sicker, picked her up, drove her to the cemetery where his father was buried, where his grandfather had built a gazebo. Been battling depression. Shot his mother in the chest and then turned the weapon on himself. And the report says that people believe he had been dealing with depression due to the coronavirus. It's false data. That's false data. Holy Spirit is what's there to stop that. And if you think for a second it's not your job to introduce people to the Holy Spirit, man, you're wrong. We don't need a vaccine as much as we need the Holy Spirit in our life right now. Somebody asked me the other day about, you know, I teach government and politics and all these things. Y'all stand to your feet. It just makes me feel better. I teach politics and civics and U.S. history and all these things. And somebody asked me the other day what I thought about the appointment of Judge Amy Coney Barrett, who I think is very qualified, not that you asked, and this is not a political talk show, so I won't go into that very much. They said, you know, what do you think this is going to have to deal with Roe v. Wade and all these other things that are in our country? And how's it going to help turn that over and all these things? And this person's a Christian. And I looked at him and said, hey, man, I'll be honest with you. That's not something I think about. Because laws can change and things that go on here can change. But if this doesn't change, I don't care what law you pass for what reason. I could care less. Because people are going to find a way to do what they want to do. Care what it is. What's got to happen is we got to wake up this woke generation and introduce them to the only thing that has truth. And so if you're that person this morning that Robin was talking about, I'll introduce you to the one that can hold your heart in his hand right now. The one that can massage that thing. Tell you, listen, I know it's bad and everything around you is bad, but it's going to be okay, because with Daddy brings peace. Dad brings peace to the situation. So I don't know who needed to hear that this morning. It may have just been needed to me so that I can refocus and know that every day I've got to wake up and I've got to pay attention to what the Holy Spirit says to me. And he might tell me and you two different things, man, but what's important is that we walk that out. What's important is that we don't leave any stragglers behind. We got to have our eyes open. Young people, you got to have your eyes open. I'm going to tell you, you don't understand how blessed you are if you have been introduced to the Holy Ghost. You don't understand, because those girls, there are real people out there that live that way. They live that way. And they have no self-worth. They have no self-identity. They don't understand that no matter what happens, come what may, man, Daddy's there. It might be bad, but Daddy's still there. You might total your car, God forbid, but Daddy's going to be there. You might make a mistake, Daddy's going to be there. I promise you, if one of my kids called me in need of something and then made the worst mistake in their life, I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. I have no care whatsoever. Daddy's going to be there because I love him. And how much more does he love me? Because I ain't ready to give one of them up. That's not going to happen. I can't, James. I couldn't pick one to give up for you. I'm sorry. I can't. How much more does my Heavenly Father love me than what I love my kids, guys? And that's almost unfathomable. So this morning, let's pray, or what, bow your heads, close your eyes, all that stuff. Lord, we are so thankful for your Holy Spirit. God, the things that are true. We are thankful that you speak your truth to us, God. And we are thankful that in the midst of all the stuff that could be going on in the world, you can stop it all and introduce peace into our life. So God, I pray right now, God, there's however many kinds of people in here, God, but at the bottom line is we either know the Holy Spirit or we don't. And we either listen to the Holy Spirit or we don't. And so God, my prayer today is that we refocus and we recenter our lives upon you, God, and we listen. We actively wake up to listen to the things that you want to tell us, God, to see the things that you want us to see, and not be idle, not walk by situations, God, not to bypass a person that we think is okay but's ready to commit suicide, not to bypass somebody that we think is okay because they had a great picture, God, but to see that there's self-harm and self-doubt and identity issues, God, reveal that to us. And God, if that's us, if we've been basing our life off of a false interpretation of you because we feel like we're supposed to live a certain way and be a certain way so that we're not judged, God, I pray that you let that fall this morning. That would fall off that heart that Robin's talking about, God. So Lord, we love you and we thank you and we praise you. Guys, this altar is open. The person beside you is open. Person or persons on the stage, we are open. And so we're gonna take some time right now to spend with you, Lord. Guys, my prayer is that that we hear the Holy Spirit this week. That's my prayer. Because if we want to see change, if we want our disease-ridden country not to go back to what it was, but to progress, right, and move forward and chase God, it's not going to be anything that we can do by writing laws and bills and putting things on paper or putting things on social media. It's going to be because hearts and lives are touched and affected, and that happens. We are the tool. We are the instrument to do those things. And so just allow yourself to be used. Allow yourself to see things that maybe you haven't seen, and you'll see them. He can't lie. If that's what he said, it's going to happen. So look for those opportunities. Look for the things that are in your gut that are telling you from the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, it's not the devil telling you to give somebody $20. It's not the devil telling you to pray with somebody. It's not the devil telling you to go talk to somebody. And it's also not your Jiminy Cricket conscience. Okay? That's the Holy Ghost. Stop giving your conscience credit. All right? Because it ain't you, Chief. All right. Well, I love you guys. A couple of things. Again, our pastor will be back next week. And so we're thankful to have them back. Trail of Treats. If you didn't, I didn't do the whole tithes and offerings thing. I don't think I'll ever be a pastor. You got to do that, right? We got a basket left in here if you guys want to drop those off. Trail of Treats. And then, obviously, if you are interested in serving in the capacity behind the sound block back there, just let somebody know. And walk throughout this week and be blessed and walk in love and walk in light and do you.